That was kind of the first moment when I thought, you need more than just to work hard. You need to focus on something else in order to manage everything that's changing around you. And that something else for me turned out to be mindset. And that's what I also, focus on throughout my work when I drive change and innovation projects, how we can bring along the individuals, the people with us and on that change journey. Because there I also understood can have the best tools and best processes, but you will fail if you don't have the right mindset and if you don't have the people with you.
Willkommen bei Mendel Talks Finance, dem Podcast für die Finanzwelt, präsentiert von Viktor Mendel, der strategischen Managementberatung für Excellence in Finance.
Dear Tunde, a warm welcome to today's podcast episode. It's a real pleasure to have you here with us. Before we start, can you please tell us a little bit of yourself? So how was your career? What are you working? What are you doing? And of course, we want to know what is about the Change Republic. So please tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Hi, Victor, and thank you very much for having me. And hi to everyone who takes the time to listen to this. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. And when you reached out to me, you asked what I would like to talk about. And I said that should be change, because what else shall we talk about? And that's pretty much the first word I always put in my introduction. I have been doing different jobs in different industries and countries and roles. And what connected all of them was some kind of change. Today I have the fortune to have even two hats professionally. I am a part-time partner at EY in Switzerland and driving change and innovation projects for the firm in Europe and in these markets. And with my other hat, you already mentioned, I'm also an entrepreneur. I have my own company, The Change Republic, and there our mission is to democratize access to career growth through executive coaching, branding, personal branding, and speaking opportunities.
So that means change is really something that drives you. So not the change by themselves, but to manage the change, this is really what your passion is. Is it right?
Yes, it's been throughout my professional and personal life. And there is a story I always like to tell about that. If you don't mind, then I will also tell you why was it change. When I grew up in Hungary, which is a post-communist country in the 90s. And anybody who is listening knows that situation, then you know very well, you were always told that you need to work hard. And if you work hard, then you can get everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was a belief that served me really well for a long time until many years ahead. I started my first job and that was in the energy sector. And at one point, things were very turbulent on the market and in the corporate strategy. So I lost my job. I found myself in the middle of a reorganization. And that was kind of the first moment when I thought, you need more than just to work hard. You need to focus on something else in order to manage everything that's changing around you. And that something else for me turned out to be mindset. And that's what I also, focus on throughout my work when I drive change and innovation projects, how we can bring along the individuals, the people with us and on that change journey. Because there I also understood can have the best tools and best processes, but you will fail if you don't have the right mindset and if you don't have the people with you. So that's the red thread in my experiences that connects me and that ultimately led me also to be an executive coach and help people tap into the power of their mind.
Yeah. You said something interesting, just to want to catch it. So I just had a few weeks ago a keynote and a congress, and you said, work hard is not enough. Nah? And this is exactly what I said. So work hard in the organization is not enough. Nah? So you have to work on the organization, on the company, or on yourself. Nah? If you want to really change something. So if you're just running faster, it's like a hamster wheel. No? It's going fast, efficient, but it's going nowhere. No? So
yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes we have to change something.
I wasn't there in that keynote, unfortunately, but and didn't steal your line. But glad if you agree on that. Yes, I and before somebody misunderstands, working hard is definitely a precondition. That's a given. That one you have to do. But with that, what I realized on my personal life, and then you can translate this also to a corporate environment, is it's great. But with that, I will not be protected from external factors like an economic downturn or change in the corporate strategy. Or today we think about AI and what kind of effect does it have on our lives and our careers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm coming from when I say focus on what you can, and that's your mindset, and that's the way how I do the works I am doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, what I see, and I'm sure you see it too, that a lot of the most companies, they're speaking about change, and I had also some discussions today with a customer, and yeah, they said, yeah, we need change management, we need change, but in reality, it's quite hard to make a change or change management. So question to you, Tinde, when companies try to change, what are the most common mistakes that you see?
It's complex because change usually doesn't start and stop. It's ongoing. We just jump from one curve to another and from one project to another. So it's very difficult also to follow up on one. What I find very helpful is when we are in a transformation and we are trying to change something small or big is when you take the people with you and you talk to them and not talk about them.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
That helps quite a lot. And you can start it in small, in focus groups, in whatever samples, but you need to involve them and not just roll out a strategy. And then another important thing is not just to talk about that at the beginning and kick off, but also plus 50 days, 100 days, mm-hmm. 150 days, whatever long it is, to keep the channels open, to keep the machine open, not just to forget and jump on the next curve. So I think those are the two most common pitfalls, I would say, that it's easy to fall in, given this very complex environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you are saying, it's absolutely right. And I still think there are some misunderstandings. So you said, we need to take the people with the change, with this transformation. Huh? So we have to take the people in the bus. But what I see sometimes that the management said to me, yes, but we took the people. So we informed them. Huh? So or we communicate with them. Huh? And yeah, in best case, there was something on email or in intranet or something like this. No? So this is not what we both mean, I think. No? So this is not taking the people with the change. This is just a pure information, maybe good information, but this is by far not enough. No,
that's the work starts much before that. The work starts when you start designing that project and mm-hmm. that strategy and how you would like to do that. And the work starts when you start understanding the implication. And implications not only in terms of KPI, what does it mean in terms of revenues or costs, but also in terms of what does it mean to the people that are impacted? How do they work this week and how their work will look next week?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it mean for them? Are you able to articulate the why of that? If mm-hmm. you just, as you in your example, if you just send out an email, it's very difficult to land the message why. And
I find it,
in my examples, very, very beneficial if you spend quite some time at the beginning and make them understand why you have to do this. What's this new tool? What's this new process going to mean for you? And why is it good for you? And if you're not able to articulate that, then then you've got to rethink a little bit the parts of the project.
Yeah. And that's quite a lot of interesting insights that you gave us, how change can start and how can it work effectively. But you also said that change, it's not just ends like a project, no? So it's running over time and it's maybe never ends. So how can we make sure that the change really lasts over time?
Und jetzt kommt Werbung. Kennst du das?
Der Arbeitstag beginnt, du klappst den Laptop auf und wirst erstmal freundlich von einem Berg offener Rechnungen begrüßt. Unbezahlte Lieferanten, überfällige Zahlungen, Angebote, die irgendwo zwischen fast bestätigt und hoffentlich hat's jemand gesehen, schweben. Kurz, dein Tag startet nicht mit einem Kaffee, sondern mit einer kleinen Finanz-Adventure-Quest. Aber es geht auch anders. Mit Sage. Heute stelle ich dir den Business-Software-Anbieter Sage vor. Seit über 40 Jahren verlässlicher Begleiter von mehr als 2 Millionen Unternehmen weltweit. Und jetzt mit einem cleveren neuen Teammitglied, Sage Copilot, dem KI-Assistenten in Sage Active. Der Copilot von Sage erledigt für dich den morgendlichen Zahlenspagat. Er fasst alles Wichtige zusammen, erinnert an Fälligkeiten, weist auf offene Posten hin und schreibt sogar freundliche, bestimmte oder wirklich jetzt bitte E-Mail-Entwürfe für Zahlungserinnerungen. Du wählst nur noch den Tonfall aus. So startest du endlich mit einem klaren Kopf in den Tag und kannst dich wieder auf Wachstum, Ideen und echten unternehmerischen Impact konzentrieren. Und wenn du Sage Active mit Copilot einmal selbst ausprobieren möchtest, gibt es für alle Nice to Know for CFO Podcast-Hörerinnen und Hörer ein exklusives Angebot. Du erhältst 50% Rabatt auf die ersten 12 Monate der cloudbasierten Buchhaltungslösung Sage Active inklusive Sage Copilot. Ideal, um die Kombination aus digitaler Buchhaltung und KI-Unterstützung direkt im eigenen Arbeitsalltag zu erleben. Neugierig geworden? Dann probier's einfach aus. Alle Informationen findest du unter sage.com/CFO-Podcast. Buchstabiert sage.com/CFO-Podcast. Werbung Ende.
It's 2025 and 2025 and we still live in a world where we work with people and I think that's the point.
And not just robots, huh?
Not just robots and hopefully that's not going to be the case, although things will change definitely. And these people we are working with, they will be there down the road. And that's what I meant when I say don't just celebrate that kickoff we started, but bring them along throughout and tell them where we are and show success stories and also create an environment where you can share not so successful stories to have that psychological safety for people to try new things and you know, adjust things in case needed. And I believe that's not only a nice to have, but it's proven ownership increases definitely the success and how people themselves are driving also what you are trying to achieve on a strategical level.
Okay, so when I understand you right, we have to create a specific climate where change is normal, let's say, no? Yeah. But mistakes and failure is also normal, no?
Yeah.
And where change is normal in this way that it's we have to change permanently, no? So we have to adapt on our environment, on the competitors, on internal work conditions, maybe, no? So change is not just a starting point and an ending point or so, no?
No. And it's not a complete picture. And you may not go out and roll out with a full ready picture. And I like to quote that. I've got a tennis player family. So I like that quote from Arthur Ashe, who gave a name to the US Open Stadium as well. He said something like, start small, do what you can, start where you are. And that's, I think, very important to remember. You don't have to have everything ready. It's good just to start, involve everybody that has to be involved and co-create and feed in feedback and adjust and adapt and work with that. So if you do that, I think there is no chance you forget to involve the people because you need them for the feedback and for the co-creation.
Yeah.
That's something that stuck with me for a long time. That's something I apply to many things. I try and apply and that takes off also the pressure of having to be perfect all the time, honestly.
This is also quite interesting what you said. And I also see it in my daily work, let's say. No? So start where you are. No? So and I think this is exactly the point. So change management is not just a book or a blueprint where you can use in every company and for each project and everywhere the same. No? So you always have to start where you are, and the change roadmap is maybe different because the starting point is just different. No?
Because the starting point is different, because the people are different, because they are doing different things. And and then by the time you print this blueprint, as you mentioned, things will again change. It's not a concept that lives anymore.
Yeah, and even what we also see sometimes, we are lucky to have some different change projects in one company, in one organization, and we also see that the starting point is maybe from department to department different. No? So there's not just a company culture, so there's also a department culture. People are different in accounting than in sales maybe, no? Or in production or logistics. So it's there's no blueprint solution that you can use everywhere, no?
No, and you need to meet them exactly where they are, and you need to speak the language exactly what's spoken in those departments, in those geographies, in those teams, for them to understand what you are communicating.
Yeah.
That one email at the beginning will certainly not serve the purpose.
Exactly. Tünde, we discussed also before the podcast about the personal branding and why personal branding is so important when leading change. Could you explain it to us? Why is personal branding that important?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that, and I like to co-create it and shape it that also with my audience. And why is that? Is because I think we are just at the end of the day humans, and we connect better with stories, and we connect better with humans. And if I'm talking about change, you connect with me better if I tell you personal story. And the personal story can be also in a professional environment, but something that makes you land it, that makes me relevant to you, that makes you think, oh, I get it. I feel the pain. I feel the challenge. I know we have to work on. Mm-hmm. And to me, this the brand, we call it brand, essentially it is just everything that you are representing: your history, your skills, your certification, your languages, your work experience, and how you through that are able to drive change and bring people along with you. I think that is really key when it comes to making the message land. And it's a super noisy word, and we've got news and notifications bombarding us all the time, and we are at the end of the day just humans. So that personal element, I believe, is always very helpful. And when I speak about this, and when I do trainings about this, is for leaders that work with people that need to take them along on some kind of journey. And you can't take yourself out of the equation. You are in there, and you need to be able to explain why are you doing that and what's your take on that. That's, in a very simple term, what I mean when we speak about personal branding, why that's important to put yourself in.
Yeah, I think because we want to change people, so we have to act as a human being, as a people. No? So, and if we want to change people, I think we don't have to present just facts and so on. No? So like you said, no, we have to give people the understanding, the feeling why a specific change is necessary. No? So that means when from the leadership side, a change is starting, they have to be, let's say human. No? So
it has to be, And look, Victor, you're doing a podcast, and the podcast is a wonderful format also to tell a story, to talk about something in a more also personal angle. And I believe we are really there where this is what you need to grab people's attention, because everything else is standard and industrial and AI generated and whatnot.
So we just started to discuss about the leaders or leadership. So how can leaders change the cultures? What can they do if someone is hearing us and said, yes, I need a change, there's an urgency? What could be maybe the first step to create a specific culture where change is possible?
That's a very complex question, Victor. I'm not sure we have enough time
for that. Let's bring maybe one or two aspects.
Yeah. But a very, very most important element that comes to my mind and what you feel immediately if it's not there is certainly psychological safety. So if you are trying to change something, you will create some kind of different from what the status quo is, and different can be scary and different can be intimidating. And different can mean people can make mistakes because they are not doing what they used to. So first of all, to have that culture that it's okay that we are all on this together, that we will try and we will experiment, and maybe A and B and C will not work, but D will work. And we need to get to through A and B and C to get to D. To have that kind of basis, I think that's very important. And also the opposite, if you don't have that, then you end up with an email and the top down change, and nothing good will come out of that.
So a climate of trust, I think. Yes. This is the one of the first steps that we have to create, and people should believe it. So this is the currency that we pay in our company, people have to try to trust in this currency, no?
Yeah. And it's a learning. And for me, what's on a professional and also on a private level is very enlightening and takes off the pressure from your shoulders if you really don't have to have that perfect. So it's a learning journey. It's co-creating, and it will not be 100% co-creation. But if you're able to grab those elements where you can celebrate little success together and you can learn from little failures together, then you've got a much better chance for a much nicer outcome.
You said in your introduction that you are coaching leaders. So what kind of skills leaders need to stay strong and successful in these turbulent times, let's say?
Yeah, and it's the million-dollar question. And that's what interests me as a coach. That's what interests me at my work at the Big Four. And that's what interests me as a mother as well, because I've got a 13-year-old and I need to understand what is it great, what is the kind of direction me as a parent can recommend to him. And the way I see this, and the way I see this also at my work, is skills like communication skills, soft skills, being able to tell a story, to take people along with you on the journey, are extremely important. Skills, complex simplifying complex things and solving problems without getting too technical is getting very important. And what we see also with artificial intelligence is cost of knowledge is pretty much zero. Skills which you train, used to train, you and me, we were trained in universities and in aulas and books.
It's everywhere available, no?
It's everything is basically training material now for a machine. That can be done. That can be done by the machine. So what we can put on the top is what we in 2025 can identify really as human skills. And, ask me in 3 years and maybe I will tell you something different, because reality has proven. But to your question, what a leader needs to be successful, I believe these skills are extremely important, because the technical expertise is kind of the entry ticket, and that's something else, somebody else or another robot is doing. The way how you can bring your people together, how you can communicate, how you can motivate, how you can tell a story. That is going to be still your job, and an important job.
Yeah. I fully agree. No? And I think the technical skills, the knowledge is still needed. I mean, this is still the basis, even though the cost of this knowledge are decreasing. Let's take ChatGPT or other tools. You get it's immediately available. Nevertheless, you still have to understand it. No? But the costs are lower. I fully agree. No? But the difference between us and machines are, the feelings, the human being. No? I mean, this is, I think, especially for the leaders, where the knowledge, the technical skills are less important. The other skills should be more and more stronger.
Absolutely.
And more
it's an entry ticket, as you said, it's still needed, and we need to figure out how to get that entry ticket on the non-conventional ways. But that is not where you really add value as a leader. And what I see also with my clients in my coaching, the more years pass, the more experience you get, the more challenging is that. And the challenges are getting just bigger because the responsibilities are bigger. So that's, I think, really the $1 million ticket to figure out how you can add value also in this super complex and changing world as a leader.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, $1 million question, I think you're right. No? And I think it's extremely urgent for today's leaders or for tomorrow's leaders even more to think about it and always adapt their skills, their leadership skills, maybe because of AI, no? Because it's changing very fast. And the question I have in my mind, how can or how will maybe AI change the way of change management? Do you have an idea?
I'm exploring different parts of it, and it was the same for me two and a half, three years ago when it has been first available on your and my laptop in the form of ChatGPT, and you have seen things happening that you thought that wasn't possible. I think that how that is impacting us, that is we need to go through that change curve, definitely. Whatever it means in your job, in my role, in my team, what I'm doing on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we need to go through that and experiment with that at the end of the change curve and somehow integrate it in it. I think it would be foolish to think that we can just ignore it or we can ignore it on a long term. I believe that it's an early adopter's chance and first mover's chance, and this is what we all have to do. Where I see specifically a really, really big change is, and maybe that's the same for change management, I definitely see it as a coach, how you will keep that human element, which is so important in both change management and in both coaching. And again, they are the same. I'm experimenting and co-creating with my clients, with the people I work with, and try to understand what does that mean for us and what does it mean for the next project? How can we incorporate this better? So it's a learning curve, I believe, and we all have to, in our jobs and in our roles, we all have to go through that learning curve and experiment with it and see where is it going and where I am as a human still adding value.
Yeah. So you already gave us some insights. What are you doing in the change repurposing? So how else do you help people with your change repurposing concept?
So that the concept came from the fact how you can really tap into the mindset. And I started with mine, definitely, and through the years also with other colleagues and people that reached out to me on that. And in the Change Republic, it does have actually a structure and a brand. And coaching is an extremely powerful tool to initiate personal growth and give you a reply to all those challenges that you have as the years are passing in a professional environment. And what I also realized throughout the years that it was still kept as a very exclusive, the certificate I have says executive coach. It's a very exclusive, available growth tool for only a certain group of people, or that's at least that was what traditionally it was. And what I see with the appearance of artificial intelligence and what we are doing also at the Change Republic, and we are testing and trying with our clients and with the developers, is how you can then integrate it and offer tools and services to people to make it more accessible in terms of cost, but also in terms of time. If we do a one-on-one coaching, it needs 60 minutes of my time and your time to do that. And at how we can reduce time and cost associated with that incredibly efficient and powerful personal growth tool, which coaching is. So that's why it has its own shape, its own form. That's why it's executing and experimenting at the same time. And it's super exciting times to be able to do those experiments with clients.
Cool. I'm really excited. So it sounds really, really great. And yeah, thank you for your explanation. And maybe my last question, how can people that are interested maybe to be coached from you, how can they reach you?
The same way you found me. I am available on LinkedIn, on my personal profile, on the company profile, and maybe you will also put that in the description of this this episode.
For sure.
And I also have the opportunity and to talk on events. So I meet a lot of people also on the events where I am speaking and continuously learn together and shape how this is also looking for me and for the Change Republic. So you will see me in the bigger Zurich area or Swiss events more often in person, and virtually definitely you can find me on LinkedIn and see if what I say to you makes sense.
And then perfect. So I will definitely continue follow you and look what are you doing, and maybe one day we have an opportunity to meet each other personally.
Yes, absolutely. I would love that. Thank you very much, Victor.
Perfect. Tindy. Thank you very much. It was really a pleasure for me. It was really inspiring. So I feel with you. I feel the same, I think. So I hope that also we gave some inspiration for others. So thanks a lot, Tindy.
Yes, let us know. Thank you so much for the invitation. It was a pleasure.
Und das war Mendel Talks Finance. Vielen Dank, dass Sie uns begleitet haben. In jeder Episode bieten wir Ihnen tiefe Einblicke in die Strategien, Visionen und Innovationen, die die Finanzwelt von morgen prägen. Wir hoffen, Sie haben wertvolle Erkenntnisse dabei gewonnen. Wenn Sie Mendel Talks Finance abonnieren, bleiben Sie immer auf dem Laufenden. Wir sprechen mit hochkarätigen Gästen, die die Zukunft der Finanzwelt mitgestalten. Weitere Informationen finden Sie unter viktormendel.de. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zu unserer nächsten Folge von Mendel Talks Finance.